You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 69 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with the very encouraging Jeff Gargas. Jeff, that word was submitted by one of your favorite people.
Who?
I feel like I said that before. Your favorite people. You kind of have a lot of favorite people.
Katie Alvarez.
Yeah, how did you know that?
I don't know. I said it three times before you gave me the right answer, because yesterday or the day before, she answered, tweeted to you on Twitter about it, and I saw it, and I was super happy about it.
Well, usually people direct message me, but when they put it out for the world to see, I guess you're allowed to have that ego boost.
And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder if Ray's going to use that tomorrow.
Well, I wanted to use it because Katie is a fabulous educator, and so to be able to highlight her on the podcast, I had to jump at that opportunity.
Yes, she's at Fresh from the Fourth with 4TH. Right? Am I right? Did I get that right?
Yes. And she's also, I have to like just shout her out as a huge Teach Better like family member. She just seems like she's a part of the family.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, very active in the Facebook group, which by the way, if you're not in the Facebook group, go on the Facebook, type in Teach Better Team and get in there. But also very active in Master Chat. She was actually just last week while we're recording right now. We did our Master Chat, where we had the questions from our Master Chat community, and Katie was one of the ones whose questions we took, and then she went live with Tiffany afterwards. She was one of the ones live, her and Robert Breyer, and they did an awesome job recapping the episode. It's so cool. But yeah, Katie and I got connected more when, you know, she was considering submitting to the Teach Better conference, but was, for what I still can't figure out why, because she's awesome, but she was having some self-doubt, some not sure where she wanted to go and stuff, and I just hounded her about it. I tweeted out at her. I was hitting her on Facebook. I was like publicly getting on her about getting her submission, and she finally did, and it's an awesome submission. So super excited that we get to do a shout-out to Katie for this. So Katie, I hope you're listening, and if you're listening, I want you to know that you're awesome, and I appreciate the kind words, and if I've ever encouraged you, that just means a lot to me, so I appreciate that.
You are awesome, Katie. Totally true. And Katie is a perfect example of somebody something that I really want to focus on to chat on really quick before we get into the episode. Is that okay, Jeff?
Yeah. What's that? What do you got?
I want our listeners to really remember that any opportunity is a way to make a connection with somebody. Because Katie is a perfect example of somebody that we just so happen to be building our professional learning network. She's an amazing educator, and we've just continued to get connected with her. But I think that as we talk about a professional learning network, as we talk about connections, our mind kind of goes to social media. But the reality is that any moment, whether you're standing at a grocery store, in a restaurant, I mean, at a conference, every single moment is an opportunity to meet somebody new who can challenge you in your profession.
Absolutely. Like I love being out and connecting. I mean, just I love talking to random people. Like it's one of my favorite things to do, because you just never know where that person's going to lead in that relationship.
We can't take you anywhere, Jeff.
What's that?
I said, we can't take you anywhere. You are good at that. You could talk to a wall.
I do talk to walls very often, actually. It's interesting.
You know, our featured people that we're having on today is Bruce and Aaron. And Bruce and I met in a very odd circumstance. I'm going to try and say this story without making myself sound like a goof. But I was at a conference in Rhode Island with our favorite Tiffany Ott, who is an incredible educator. If you're not connected with Tiffany Ott, go check her out on Twitter at Techie Teach Ott. But her and I were kind of goofing around Rhode Island. We had an amazing conference, but we decided to grab dinner, which, you know, really like removed us from the conference. We went and found a fun place to kind of catch up. Tiffany and I aren't together that often, so it was a good opportunity. And we really, truly just bumped into Bruce while we were standing and waiting. I don't know how to phrase this. We were waiting for a drink. We were, you know, what we'll call it, soda. So as we were standing in this restaurant, we just started up a conversation. And now look at this. I guess a year and a few months later, we met him in April last year. He is now a featured person on Teach Better Talk with an incredible amount of knowledge to share in education. Go figure that he's done so much to try and shape the world of education.
Yeah, he really does have a pretty impressive background. He goes into a little bit, he shares a little bit with us in the episode, but Bruce Umstead is so you guys met, and then you guys also presented at FETC 2019, which he was very heavily involved with.
Yeah, the joke was he reached out to me after we had kind of bumped into him at dinner, and he was like, hey, we should present together sometime. And me, I'm like, sure, sign me up. Anytime people want me to present, sure, sign me up. Little did I know he was like in charge of the conference, FETC, at the time. And so we presented a bunch of sessions together. We kicked off his track at FETC in Florida, kind of, you know, having fun up on stage. It was a blast.
Yeah. So super connected guy, speaking of connection, which is cool, experienced guy. He's currently the director of state programs for IMS Global Learning Consortium. And so what they do data standards. They publish data standards for K-12, higher education, and the workforce. So he works there to he's been leading them for a while. He's loving what he does. He goes in a little bit more detail of that. But then he's also got a cool thing. So this is how it ties in. He asked us if his sister Erin could come on, and of course we said heck yeah. Like let's make this a fun episode. And they're doing these cool. This cool project with her students that they call the Great American Epic, and we're gonna let them get into it, but it's connected to podcasting and the students and stuff. It's really, really cool. So Erin is a high school English language arts teacher. She also teaches seniors too. She has a cool schedule that she goes through, and she shares that with us. And they've got this Great American Epic project that they're working on that I just think is really, really cool. Connected to sort of finding the American dream again and to sharing what it is and that it's not dead. And there's a cool connection that they have with their students to the community, which I know you were loving. So super, really cool episode. Nice going back and forth. We had two different voices in there, which was a lot of fun. They're brother and sister. So, you know, there was a lot of joke and we were having a good time with them the whole time. I'm super excited for everyone to hear anything before we get into the episode, Ray, that stood out for you that you really want listeners to pay attention and listen for.
You know, while we had two different voices on this podcast, we also had two educators that came from completely different perspectives. So yes. Really, as you're listening, hone in. Erin is a teacher at heart in the classroom. That's where her passion lies. Bruce is wholeheartedly a tech guru, and not just tech tools where you find a tech coach in your building, but Bruce really approaches the true integration of technology in the classrooms and how that's then built and scaled. So there's a lot of great value in here, and I just love all their stories. So this was a really fun one to record.
And with that, let's get into episode number 69 with Bruce and Erin Umstead. All right, so we are here talking. We got kind of a cool episode tonight. We've got a duo joining us, a brother-sister duo. It is brother-sister, correct? I should have asked you guys that before we started. That is the correct relation.
Right.
We've got Bruce and Erin Umstead, brother and sister, both in education. This is going to be a lot of fun. Bruce, you've been connected with Ray for a while. You guys presented together at FETC. And then you asked it, you know, that Erin might join us, and we said, heck yeah, that sounds like a blast. We'll do a little bit something unique, have two extra voices on here. So we're super excited to have you on. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to hang out with us and have some fun with us and share your knowledge and your experience. So first off, let me just ask both of you, how are you feeling tonight?
Great. I'm feeling great. I was actually in Erin's class today about the project we're going to talk to you about, and it went well.
It did. It's coming together. Today was a great Monday. Sometimes Mondays get a bad rap, but today, if I had to pick a perfect Monday, today would have been it.
You know, yeah, I had a good Monday too.
I love Mondays. They're like my favorite day of the week, honestly.
Yeah, but you only like Mondays because that's when we record Teach Better Talk.
Yeah, that's why. That's why. No. All right. So really quick though, curious. Where are you guys both at? Where are you located? You're obviously fairly close because Bruce was in the class today, correct?
That's correct. Yep. I live in Lansing, Michigan. Okay. I'm a Lansing gal. I've been here since I went to MSU in the recent past. And I teach at Holt High School. So I live about 12 minutes away from where I teach. And I love my community. I love my school community. That's where I'm at.
And I'm a little farther north in DeWitt, Michigan, which is on the northern end of Lansing, the capital city. And I've been here for most of my adult life, too.
So you guys are just a little ways north of me. I'm in northeast Ohio. So, you know, and then Ray's in one of those places that have the wrong time. So,
hey. Central time zone over here.
Bloomington Normal.
See, he knows.
Yes, he does. Everyone knows. Ray, you're like a rock star.
Oh, stop. I just know Bruce is in Michigan because last time I was spending a few days with Bruce in Florida, which I know we're going to get to talking to on this podcast, we're talking about the massive amount of snow that we both get. So I have vivid memories of learning all about where Bruce lives.
And you left early and got stuck in the airport. I went straight
to that was a nightmare.
Yeah, can we note, I left early to then get home later than everybody else. That's what happened.
And you ended up, where'd you end up going? You had to go over like Phoenix or somewhere? Didn't we? Like, we've had to fly you all over the place to get you home. To Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Dallas. It was beautiful.
And then into Minnesota.
Oh, it was all over.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just glad we got you home. She's actually still on her way home from the BTC in January.
Anyway, I'm going to start off our first part of our podcast out of these shenanigans, and I want to take some time to talk about each one of you and really kind of get a full picture because I know you've done a lot in education. I want to make sure our listeners can kind of paint that picture with us. So Jeff gave you a little bit of an introduction, but Aaron, we're going to start with you. I just want to know kind of how you describe all that you do for a living and, you know, how you describe yourself. Obviously, I know you're a teacher, but kind of all those moving pieces. And then Bruce, we're excited to hear about you as well.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for having me on your show today. I'm just so very excited. Yes, I'm a teacher. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I remember as a little girl, instead of playing house or Barbies or whatever, I played school. And I was always the teacher. And so my mom was a teacher and her mom was a teacher, all three educated at Eastern Michigan University. Go Eagles. And yeah, so I've just did something I've always wanted to do. So when you think about a teacher's day, school starts at 7:30, but I like to get there a little bit early. And before that, I've got to get myself ready and just organized. I'm a morning person. So my morning starts about 4 o'clock a.m. and I do some quiet time and thinking and then get myself around, get to school. When I'm there, most of my job is content, of course, and I teach three different classes. I have a writing support class for freshmen, and we're really focusing on argumentative writing. And so I'm looking for things that not only are at their level and that will support them and encourage them, but also things that will be fun. So we do a lot of fun writing. Today we did a writing marathon around the school while I had them think about their future. My seniors, I transition after second hour and I have fourth through sixth hour with seniors. And oh my gosh, it's fun to end my day with them. And I teach speech. We call it speaking and listening in English. And I'm just really getting the kids to try to come out of their comfort zone. There's specific speeches that we write, but also just some impromptu speaking and just really get them to think about not only what their message is, but how they present it. As we know, 75% of our message comes from body language. And so watch their facial clues and, you know, their inflection. So that's lots of fun. And then the class that I'm teaching with Bruce this semester is my problem-based, project-based class. And I'm having the students think about American values and make podcasts. So we're busy making projects and they're on their last one. So we're really excited about that. All in all, I wouldn't change it for the world. And I kind of think every now and again what I'd rather do. And I think my talents and passion is uniquely suited for teaching. And I just love my seniors.
Hey guys, while we take a quick break, I want to make sure that you are constantly thinking about how you are growing your network. We have a hashtag mastery chat every Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. It's a great way to pop on, answer a few questions, and collaborate with teachers around the world. Hope you join us next Thursday.
Bruce, can you believe that you have to follow that?
How do you think I feel all year now going into her classroom and seeing what an excellent teacher she is? She's also being humble and not mentioning a major appointment over the summer to the Eastern Michigan Writing Project. She's going to be one of the... Are you the lead instructor for that this year?
I am. One of my top dreams came true. I want to be a university professor when I grow up. And so this summer I get to teach my first graduate class and it's a writing project and I'm so excited about it. Thank you, Bruce. I forgot to say that.
That's a good brother right there.
Isn't he?
You gotta give props when they, So Bruce, now on to you.
Yeah, well, I have a full-time job, believe it or not. It's with IMS Global Learning Consortium. We do learning system, data system interoperability standards or specifications. So when your LMS needs to talk to the student information system, if they follow our specifications, it's made a lot easier. So I've been working for them since August. It's been a lot of fun. My responsibility is trying to get states involved in the interoperability work and also publishing state standards in a format that is easy for machines and humans to read. So very fascinating, not to most people, but I do find the work fascinating.
Well, and we appreciate it. Thank you. We teachers. Absolutely.
So that's after having worked at the state of Michigan, Michigan Department of Ed for a good period of time, worked for Bright Bytes in the ed tech space for a year, and then I was doing some consulting. That's how I met Ray. We actually met at the Highlander Institute. Is it the Blended Learning Conference of 2018?
Yeah.
We were waiting for a leprechaun to bring us our non-alcoholic beer.
Yes, absolutely. And it formed a friendship to last a lifetime.
Oh, look at that.
As it would, my goodness.
I have to tell you, though, Bruce, you have consistently been a mystery to me. Even when we met, I'm trying to pull these little pieces. You've done so much in your career, and you just kind of like throw these little tidbits in. And so I've been building this timeline throughout our friendship, trying to figure out all that you've done for education. So this was helpful for me to just continue learning about all the things that you're involved in as well. So I'm like taking notes here, like adding it to my Bruce Umstead timeline.
So Ray, we're going to dig in a little bit more now, Bruce, because I want to have you take us to a specific time. So we talk a lot on the podcast. We always talk about failure. It's something that we talk a lot about because we believe in embracing failure. And I've failed a whole lot, so I talk about it all the time. But I think it's going to help us dig into a little bit of who is Bruce for Ray, right? So Bruce, we'll have you go first. So what I'm looking for here is just take us to a time that you've had a failure in your life. It doesn't have to be something drastic, but it can be. And just share with us what happened, how did you overcome that failure, and then what did you take away from that? Bruce, we'll have you go first, and then Aaron, you can jump on after that.
Well, that's where I kind of wanted to talk about the project I was working on with Aaron, because it is a project that I've tried and failed several times trying to start. It's called The Great American Epic. I got it, the idea over a decade ago, because I was driving around selling curriculum out of a car. It felt like it was all in the back of my car. And I realized I hadn't listened to any of the classic literature growing up. So I started listening to the Iliad and the Odyssey, and I didn't understand it. So I got a lecture series and started listening to that. And I come to realize that there's this whole string of epic poems, poetry mostly, that has stretched from early Greek civilization all the way to the British Empire. And it kind of stopped there, that it didn't cross the ocean with the settlers and take root here in America. And I found that to be quite interesting. Mostly it's a shift to instead of poetry, there's more prose. Instead of long drawn out stories, there's more like a novel, right? There's not 200,000 words. There's a 70,000 word, like The Great Gatsby is one of my favorite books, and Aaron can name a bunch as well. But it kind of leaves something missing in our society. Like, what does our society stand for if we don't have a story at the time to kind of say this is what the society meant at the time of its telling? Do you know what you kind of know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Divine Comedy might be the best example. Like when Dante wrote that, he actually would walk around town and they said that he smelt like sulfur because he had done such a good job with the Inferno. That's kind of like what we're talking about here. Don Quixote, maybe out of Spain. And you can see that there's these huge stories that are told about a society in America. The closest thing we've had is like Moby Dick. So, of course, you hear this challenge and you first reject it. You're like, well, I'm not a writer, so I'm not going to be able to do that. But I always found it interesting that we should be identifying the epics in our journey so that we can, kind of set a mark for the time. Like in my age, it would be Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. We just watched that on May 4th, kind of celebrating both our geekiness and the Star Wars genre. That might be as close for my generation as an epic, right? This generation might be Avengers, either Infinity War or Endgame. We were just talking to Aaron's students in class. And so really, once you get an idea like this, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you kind of fail to start, right? That was a movie, right? Failure to launch was a movie. So that's how I felt until Erin and I decided to get together and try it as a podcasting experience in her class. And so definitely tried and failed and, you know, several times. And it's just because the idea gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you got to get to a point where you can get your arms around it, tackle it, get it down to a small size. And so that's where we're at right now. We're doing it as a podcasting experience in her writing class.
Very cool. I love that it led the podcast, and that's great. So Erin, same thing to you. Can you take us on in a story that you've had and what you learned from that and how you came out of it?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the focus on failure, because without it, you haven't learned anything. It's my opinion. So if I think about a monumental failure in my life, if you were to show me my life right now at 45, when I was a senior in high school, I would have told you that that was not going to be my story. I had it planned out. You know, all this stuff on through college, I had picked somebody out I wanted to marry. And along came my junior year in high school. And turns out that person didn't want to marry me. And that didn't work out. And then on top of that, you know, I told you I was born to be a teacher. I knew it. I knew it all the way up. I came to Michigan State and I knew I wanted to be a teacher. And for whatever reason, there were more people that applied that year, my junior year in college, and I didn't get in. I had a solid 3.0 and I needed a 2.75. So I thought it was golden. Well, there were so many English teachers that semester that it bumped it up to a 3.2. And there I was. I didn't get into the College of Education. And I was just literally and figuratively flat on my face. I just didn't even know what to do, because there's my whole dream, my whole path. You know, the relationship, I started out with that, but that was not anything compared to like my life's work that I knew I was going to do. So I had to do some quick footwork, and I ended up graduating in 4 years. So I finished up on time with an English degree. And I don't want at all to say that you can't do anything with an English degree, because I don't believe that. But the one thing I wanted to do with an English degree, I wasn't able to. But you know what? It was... I couldn't have planned it any better, because what I did was, once I graduated and figured out, you know, that my life plan was on hold, I looked at some of my other passions, and a huge passion I have and to this day is volunteering and community service. I'm a community builder. And so I applied to and was accepted to the AmeriCorps National Civilian Community Corps. I served 10 months in Denver, Colorado. I had two different projects that entailed me teaching students at both ends of the spectrum. I was at a really highly privileged, out-of-the-box alternative school where there were no desks and no books and no tests. They did everything by portfolio, and it was like multi-age pods. I mean, everything you're reading about in the buzzwords still today, you know, two decades later, this school is doing. So that was amazing. And then the very next project I went to, I was in Detroit and I was teaching first graders to read. And that was very much exactly on the other side of the spectrum. And so I got the whole, you know, and it was a younger grade level than I was interested in teaching, but it still really cemented that I was meant to be an educator. Side note, I did meet the person of my dreams and brought them home with me from Denver. So sticking my tongue out at the boy who wouldn't marry me, that's fine. But the long story is short that through AmeriCorps, then I came home and I dove into substitute teaching. I worked four different jobs, but I just really never gave up, because yes, I fell flat on my face. Yes, my dreams and hopes were dashed. No, my life wasn't going to look anything like I thought it was going to look. But it ended up that when I applied to both Michigan State and Eastern Michigan University in the year 2000, I got in, you know, joyously. And I went to Eastern because that's where my mom went and where her mom went. And it really changed my life. And that's where I got my teaching certificate. And I've since earned my master's from there. And like Bruce said, I'm going to do that writing project this summer. And I just really could not have dreamed of the depth that my passion would be able to be realized. I thought that it was hopeless and that I wouldn't be able to do it because I got, you know, that resounding no. But I turned that no into a, well, what can I do to get myself ready for when that no turns into a yes? And so that's why I'm so excited you asked me that question, because of course I have other failures as well. But I mean, just the very basic building block of who I am as an educator was denied and was led to question. But you turn that no into a yes by taking the next step and taking the next step and taking the next step and turning it into a yes by creating opportunities for myself. I just wouldn't give up. And then that led me to my dream job at Holt, where, you know, I have tenure and I've done been able to do a lot of really cool things for my students and my colleagues. And if I'd taken that no as a forever no, I can't even imagine where I'd be right now.
You know, Bruce and Aaron, something I've really enjoyed about your failure stories was really this blending, right? You're taking the classics and you're blending it with this progressive movement to really allow your students to experience life through your reflection, through your questioning of what life can bring you. I think that that's a really important component that many teachers in this day and age continue to add value to, is how can I reflect on my experiences, reflect on my daily teaching or daily practice, but also question it to make my students' lives and experiences through their learning better, which was really interesting to hear from both of you. My question to you then next has to do with how you keep fueling your fire, right? What's keeping you excited about education and everything that you're doing? So Bruce, I'm going to throw it to you first, but then Aaron, I'd love to have you follow up if you have something similar that is really keeping you moving and grooving. We'd love to hear about that as well.
Well, that's what we're sharing. We're working on this podcasting project together, and it failed again in the fall. I had taken a podcasting master class from Seth Godin and started podcasting myself. I got like 3 or 4 interviews in, and my volunteer producer kind of went into the spin cycle, and I lost her for like 2 months. I'm like, crap, all of this work kind of out the window. And Aaron's like, let's do this class as a writing experience in writing expressions in my senior class. And so she picked it up. We dusted it off, and we've actually been teaching the kids how to podcast on what we call the Great American Epic. It's a journey we put the kids on, literally following the hero's journey. So there's 17 steps and there's 16 weeks in the semester. So we've been kind of like marching them down the path and kind of turning them on to the concept of having agency in the American ideal, which was really interesting, like going into the classroom and asking people if they knew what the American dream was and talking about some of the values that kind of we as Americans hold dear, at least supposed to hold dear. We didn't really see a lot of agency there. There was definitely no heroes in the class. Everybody, you know, kind of just wanted to, like, we graduate in a few months. Let us, you know, write a couple things and move on. But it's been a wonderful experience. And I've just been really, my faith in humanity, in America, and in the next generation of citizens have been kind of renewed. And I kind of realized that, like, even though I've struggled doing this on my own, having my sister as a partner has really been rewarding and unique. We haven't been closer, even though we live like 20 miles apart. It's given us something to share and work on together. And so that's really what's been kind of inspiring me most recently.
Well, it sounds like a great project. I mean, as we're starting to learn the tidbits of each piece that you're able to pull in, I'm sure your students are having an incredible experience.
Oh my goodness, yes. I'm so excited. You know, in every community, I'm thinking of my classroom as a community, you've got your early adapters. And there's a young woman who from Go, her first podcast, Bruce and I listened to it and he's like, oops, we shouldn't have listened to that one first. It was perfect. It was amazing. And she was on it and she was in it and, you know, she was all for it. And then you've got, you know, the ones that once they start to feel a little success, then they, you know, then they're starting to get into it and, you know, exciting things. And they'll come, you know, with their light in their eyes and say, Miss Umstead, so-and-so is going to let me interview them. So that's really cool. But what I'm most hopeful for are those sweet babies who I'm dragging by their teeth across the finish line, you know, because this is an English class that many of these seniors have to pass in order to graduate. And so, you know, a bit of a carrot to do well, but also a bit of a stick that, hey, you don't get to cross that stage unless you do this. So I'm just really excited because Bruce said, like you said, the very first day, who's a hero in here? And nobody raised their hand. And now through learning that they each are on a hero's journey, we've studied some of Joseph Campbell's work and we've looked at, you know, some modern heroes, Chance the Rapper and some different people like that today, Adam Sandler. We've looked at some different heroes and we've noticed that their stories fit in the way that we're building these podcasts. So I'm just so excited not only to have these students understand that the American dream is not dead and it's up to us to make sure that it remains alive for ourselves and for our children's generation. But what I'm seeing is I am seeing that agency. I'm starting to see a lot of kids, you know, they get their first podcast done and then the second one is even better and the third and the fourth. And so while I'm not giving up on my sweet babies who are trying to refuse the call to their hero's journey of podcasting, I just really think that projects like this are what is going to keep me in education until I'm able to retire, you know, and then probably after that as well, because I don't think teachers ever retire. We just find a different way to teach. But so to follow up what Bruce has said, we've noticed that building heroes is both exhilarating and precarious, especially in this, you know, in our context, but also it's this project-based learning. It's this, okay, how are you going to change the world? What are you going to do now, to make this place, this Holt High School, you know, this class, how are you going to make it better than when you left it here? And so I always ask for student advice. I ask for feedback, and just keeping student voice and agency alive in my classroom is what energizes me. It's what makes me want to get up in the morning, and it makes me definitely want to do a better job tomorrow than I did today.
You know, I really think that what you're doing is fantastic. And my question is, how do we scale that? How do we provide these types of opportunities for any teacher that's looking to take the plunge into giving that voice and that learning experience to their students? So would you mind sharing the type of advice, whether it be a new teacher or a veteran teacher, a type of advice that these teachers need to be taking to ensure that they're really providing progressive opportunities for their students?
I love that question. Thank you so much. I'm going to jump right in. I'm sorry, Bruce. I'm so excited.
Ahead.
No, thank you for asking that, because that's what we want, right? We want teachers understanding that they can build student agency, that they can project student voice, and we want them in this game, in this hard, hard game, for as long as they can keep that passion up. And so I think the way that we scale it is, in a couple of Wednesdays, I'm going to have a celebration of learning where the community and other teachers and faculty, staff, and students are going to come and see, and they're going to want to hear these podcasts. It's, you know, because podcasts are all the rage right now, and to have high schoolers making them, that's going to spread it in my small circle of my school community. But I also think my advice to new teachers or just teachers who are looking for projects that will keep their passion going is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid to do something no one else is doing, and be ready for it to be hard, because this is one of the hardest things I've ever done. But honestly, that's how I know that it's worth doing.
Yeah. And my advice is, and this is something I learned from Seth Godin, is focus on getting a minimum viable audience, right? So in the past, my ideas got bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where like no one person was going to be able to get it done. And so with this, really our audience is 29 students. I'm very excited about the public display of learning that's coming up. That's very much in line with my views on deeper learning and competency-based education, right? What does it matter outside the classroom? So we're providing students with that audience, but we're not focused on getting thousands of people to listen to our podcast, which should be the goal. Most people doing podcasts. Our goal is to get, you know, we've decided to focus on our students and getting them to produce podcasts that they want to listen to, that their friends want to listen to. And then that's what we're going to publish. And so my advice is, whenever you start a new project, definitely have something that has value off the teacher's desk or outside the classroom, but it doesn't have to touch the whole world. It really just has to focus on minimum viable audience for impact. And honestly, when it hasn't been the easiest, like we're writing the curriculum and stuff as we go, we've decided to focus on helping every student in the class succeed. And we are getting some high flyers, some high quality work. And we're getting other people who are going to be fortunate to finish up by the time graduation rolls around. But in between, we're getting a lot of blessing, right? A lot of things to be grateful for when we get to see students actually demonstrating agency and ownership of not only their learning, but you know, their their community and their society as well.
I like that, Bruce, because what I want to add to that, and excuse me, I'm sorry, Jeff, but
you're good. Go.
I always tell my kids to think globally, but act locally. And so if we think about that, if we think globally, yeah, we want, you know, hundreds of thousands of people to understand that the American dream isn't dead and it's up to them to keep it going. But who better than, you know, future teachers and future bankers and future, oh gosh, they're doing all sorts. One of them is going to be a biochemist, like, and another one wants to be a mortuary science person. But like, what if they get to talk to their families? And what if those families then branch out as life does? And what if we start a movement from these 29 kids who understand that they are heroes and that they can use their voice and that they can affect their community and make it a better place by knowing the American dream isn't dead? I like that. That to me makes me just want to stand up and dance. So exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, you're instilling that not only the skills, but also the belief in them that they can do something to make a difference. And so as they grow and do more, they're gonna probably start focusing on those bigger scales, and they're gonna go change the world from that. I love the connection to the community. I love that you're focusing on them creating and the ownership, and I love that it's connected to podcasting, because I'm a big fan, obviously. So really cool thing that you got going on there. I'm loving it. So I want to now put you guys to a test, and we're actually gonna do this. We're gonna pit you guys against each other, brother versus sister here. Who can do this next part the best? So, Bruce, we're going to have you go first. We're going to do the next 6 questions. Your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. And then, Aaron, then we'll do the same for you. You ready to go, Bruce?
I am.
All right. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Soundtrap EDU. That's what we're using to produce the podcast. It's an awesome all-in-one audio application in the cloud.
Awesome. What book are you reading right now?
Turning the Flywheel by Jim Collins is a nonfiction. The fiction one I'm wrapping up, Prelude to Foundation by Isaac Asimov.
And who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
You can always follow me at Umstead.
And what's the best YouTube channel or website for educators?
I think the Teach Better podcast to really suck up.
Hey, I will allow that to happen. Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine that you think every teacher should get into.
A gratitude journal. They should write down 3 things they're grateful for every single day.
Love it. And what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I already gave it. Focus on identifying your minimum viable audience.
And that's Seth Godin, right?
That's Seth Godin. You can Google it. It'll pop up on his blog. He blogs every single day.
We'll make sure we get that blog and link that in the show notes as well. So nice work there. All right, Aaron, you got your work cut out for you.
Good
you
job, ready? Bruce. So
we nice. Got a woot woo. She's ready to go. She's acting like she's happy for one, but she's really ready to go here. So, all right, same questions. Ready? What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
I live on Google Classroom.
Give us a book that you're reading right now.
I'm reading The Come Up by Angie Thomas.
And who do you need to follow on Twitter today?
You heard it here first. Umstead@gmail.com. Or no, not gmail.com. Haha. Instagram. Fail.
What's the best YouTube channel or website for educators?
Well, I really enjoy, let me think. Oh my gosh. Holt High School has a YouTube channel.
All right. And give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
I think that teachers need to exercise daily 30 minutes. It's a stress relief, and it frees your mind to think of it kind of like frees your mind so that you can focus on a roundabout way on the problems without trying to get them head on.
Definitely agree. And what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
You are loved and appreciated. Act like it.
Ooh. Well, I don't know, Ray. That was, I don't know. I think that might be too close to call. They were both, that was tough.
It's only too close to call because I think Aaron won, but I don't want Bruce to be mad at me. So we'll call it a tie.
I'm used to it.
Well, Bruce, many times you've been right in our friendship, so I'll let you take this win. But I do want to make sure I get this final question in before we end our recording today. And that has to do with how everybody can stay connected to you two wonderful people. So if you wouldn't mind each sharing however you prefer to reach out to our amazing network, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or anything in between. We want to make sure our listeners start a relationship with you and don't just take this as the one opportunity to soak in all of your greatness.
Well, I think my sister slipped and gave everybody my email address.
I did. World Wide Web right there.
So you that know. Is the easiest way to reach me. You can also follow me on LinkedIn. I tend to own the web address for Umstead. So you can find me on Twitter and LinkedIn that way, even Facebook. Aaron's had to go with E. Umstead because I was there first. I'm a little bit older.
The easiest way for me to be contacted is my eumstead@gmail.com. But try as I like to get away from it, I can't. I am Facebook Lady Aaron Umstead on Facebook.
Awesome. And you can find all the links and the resources and everything we talked about over in the show notes at teachbetter.com, as well as all the links to connect with both Aaron and Bruce. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, please, we'd really, really appreciate that a whole lot. And let's take it one step further. Think of three colleagues that you know that need to hear these amazing stories from these amazing educators and share this podcast with them, because we love that you're listening, but we really want to spread it further. So let's get that going. Aaron, Bruce, really appreciate you both coming on, giving us a cool episode with a duo, our first brother-sister duo, so that's even better. So another number one there, but we really appreciate you taking some time, sharing your stories and your journey and the awesome stuff you guys have going on, the projects that you work on together. I think it's really, really cool, very important. Looking forward to watching it go, but we really appreciate your time and you guys coming on. So thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
The highlight of my day.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.